question that we promised to address, and I'll get to you afterwards. And that was for Ed, and that was the design drawings versus the construction.
Thank you. In response to your questions about the plans, we are at the point where it is on drawings. It's very preliminary at this point. We're trying to get together the required details for permitting, what the regulators want to see, and that what their concerns are for the environment, for the community. As we proceed towards detailed design work, it is not just lines on paper. It is an extreme effort of engineering to get to the point where we are. Eric's company to this date has provided years and years of calculations, engineering, and production, and in process improvement. That's how we get to the point where we are with the drawings. They're not just pieces of paper with lines. They're an enormous amount of effort that has gone into them to make sure that they're accurate. And what is on those drawings is not done lightly. What's going to be on the drawings is what's going to be built.
I'm trying to ask, a performance data that you're giving, how do we know from your drawings that it's going to perform? You get that after you run the facility for 5 years. You understand its performance. You don't understand that now.
Well, I think this goes back to one of Eric's first points about the water treatment facility. I think that's your biggest concern, is what's coming out of the pipes. The water treatment facility is full of tested and well-known equipment. So we're not experimenting with that. We're using products that have been on the market for a long time and are used by your municipal wastewater treatment plant as well as other towns around the world.
Who else is using the methanol treatment that you're doing?
So I had a question back here, and I'd be giving
my answer afterwards. I'll take the answer.
Yeah, getting to the point of sustainability, because that's something that you talked a lot about. You should be able to tell us per pound of salmon produced each year, how many gallons of fresh water is required for that pound of salmon, and how many gallons of salt water is required for that pound of salmon.
Yeah. We can easily give you the idea. I don't have that figure in my head, but in the Q&A follow-up answering, we can put in that information.
Yeah, that would be helpful, because what I've heard is there doesn't seem to be a lot of concern about you taking salt water.
No.
There seems to be a lot of concern about you taking fresh water and then also your effluent. So if you were to be able to take the salt water from the bay in a quantity that would allow you to produce the requisite amount of salmon that you wish to produce, and if you could reduce the amount of fresh water required through better recycling techniques, and then discharge water into what's called a groundwater recharge facility. I've seen them used in the past. They work really well. You take your water. If it does have nitrates in it, it's a wonderful thing, because the plants that are used in those ponds get rid of those extra nitrates. So there seem to be configurations of a system that would be far less resource intensive in terms of fresh water and in terms of effluent discharge than your design currently. I understand that in order to minimize the amount of antibiotics that you're using, you're using a RAS system that's a far more open RAS system than many of the others that are in existence today. And that's allowed you to achieve a reduced amount of antibiotics and fungicides that might be required in a more closed system. So we would like to have the answer to how many gallons of salt water, how many gallons of fresh water, and then what can you do to recharge our aquifer? Because that water per gallon may be worth far more than your fish per pound.
think it's, I think your angle is very useful. I think you misunderstood what we're doing. Our system uses much less water than most systems in the market today. And there was a question about methanol here. We do what's called denitrification. And the methanol that was asked about is feed for these bacteria that eat nitrogen. So denitrification enables you to cut your water use in half compared to other land-based systems. That's what we're doing. So if you compare our use of water per pound of fish, it will be much lower than compared to comparable facilities you will find around internationally. Yes, Sustainable Blue is a small farm in Canada. We know them exactly. And it's a very small farm.
And small can scale. So my question, yeah, sir, is why can you not achieve better conservation of resource in order to make your product more sustainable and therefore a better product?
Yes, I think the question is important. So what I'm saying is, if you compare us to the vast majority of farms today, we are using much less water per pound of fish. I will provide you with that figure in our Q&A. The other thing I'd like to say is, you were saying that we're using less antibiotics. We do not use antibiotics. It is on the contingency list in worst-case scenarios. So we have been operating farms in Denmark, grow a facility there. We have not used antibiotics in that farm. It's not, if you look at the salmon industry in the Northern Hemisphere, it doesn't really use any antibiotics anymore, unless in extreme contingency cases for fish welfare issues. So I just wanted to make that clear also. So so that's clear.
I'm going to go, out of respect for people that actually write their questions, I'll do some of these as well. This is for Carter. You say you will use UV to treat your waste. But UV will not work with viruses because viruses are not exactly alive.
I think this was Walden's question. Yeah, he paid attention in science class, so he's a good man. He keeps that up. They might replace me with him. No, but it's a good point. Whether or not a virus is something that's actually alive, I remember that being debated in class myself. And so a better word for that is probably neutralize. And that's probably one of the things that is definitely the thing on a technological standpoint that is the biosecurity backbone of our systems. And in light of that, there's a thorough amount of research to back up which doses will neutralize the diseases that you're trying to target. That's what we've worked with to employ in our system. Yeah, David asked that what the UV does is inactivate the DNA, which viruses have, as their means of replication. So while they may or may not be alive per se, they are deactivated by inactivating the DNA.
Alden's read that it's not effective.
We've read that it is. But fair enough. Yeah, there's multiple publications that we looked at that led us to that conclusion, but
there's more than 120 years of research showing the effectiveness of UV to include multiple Nobel Prize winners
on outflows
on many, many applications. We're talking about the inactivation of pathogens.
We hear from wastewater treatment people that it doesn't work, and they don't even use it because it's not effective.
If you have very high total suspended solid loads and you cannot get correct transmittance, we'll be filtering all the solids out. Prior to that, with a 0.4 micron filter provided by Mitsubishi, that's been installed in over 5,000 municipal plants around the world. It's a very well-proven technology.
We have one over there.
Yes, I'd like to try to simplify a previous question, or try to anyway. If the water which is being discharged, your effluent, is so pure, why aren't you trying more to just simply recycle that water rather than dumping it into the bay?
So we have many biosecurity barriers. The units are all isolated. So you have individual modules with their own systems for biosecurity purposes. You isolate the fish from each other in various cohorts and growing units. Then you then take all of that discharge water and the solids and you send it to one centralized wastewater treatment plant So if you mix all of that water for biosecurity purposes, you would not then want to send that back to those individual units. You then eliminate all the biosecurity barriers that you created by separating those units.
There was a question up here. Yeah.
You've been asked a question about the water, the salt water that you're taking, and I didn't really hear the answer to the question. You've mentioned that the others are doing worse than you all, but I don't really want to hear about the others, what the others are doing, but what are you going to, how much water you're going to take from the bay in salt water for a pound of salmon or any kind of measure?
So all the information regarding water use is in our application. I don't know if you've seen it. So in our case, we are taking about two-thirds of the water we use is seawater. In essence, we are borrowing that water and putting it back here. So it's not like we are taking water from the bay and removing it. It's just being borrowed and put back again after treatment. So as such, the amount of water we use from the bay, plus or minus, really has no effect on the bay in the end. What really is important in the discharge treatment, by a discharge permit, is what are we actually discharging of nutrients? That's what the authorities and I'm concerned about, and you should be concerned about, because these nutrients can, in sufficient amounts, have an effect on the immediate environment. So that's, I just wanted to let you understand what are the authorities concerned. It's not necessarily the amount of seawater, but it's what's in it that's important. So, is that helpful? Yes, okay.